afternoon. I'm John Chambliss. I'm an arts writer at the Chester County Press, and this is Art Watch on WCHE 1520 every Wednesday from 1 to 1:30, and I'm very happy you could join us. Today, we're talking about breaking in as an artist, from taking those first classes to getting that first crucial exhibition experience. Today, my guests in the studio are Wendy Kirshner of the Chester County Art Association, Rachel Ammon of the Mainline Art Center, and John Baker, who is an artist, a former instructor at Westchester University, and a board member of the Art Trust exhibition space here in Westchester. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, let's start with you, Wendy. For those who might not have been in the Chester County Art Association, I know it's a new place. It's only been there since 1939 or something.
33,
yes. What is it you do there at the wonderful Chester County Art Association?
Well, I am the executive director, and I am just finishing up my first year. And what I love to say that we do is that we're inspiring creative thinkers, and we are bringing out the artist in everyone.
So that's great.
As an association, we offer a range of classes and workshops, monthly art exhibitions. We have gift stores featuring artists' work and other educational series and lectures and lunch and learns.
Very active place. When it comes to exhibitions, what opportunities are there for an artist who may never have shown their work except to friends? Like your friends say, oh, that's really good, you should show that somewhere. And I guess you think about that for a few months or whatever. But what does the Art Association offer for those people?
Well, we offer a number of different ways that they can engage and start to exhibit and then hopefully sell their work. So the first is that we offer ongoing throughout the year juried and non-juried exhibitions that are open to the public.
Okay, so, now for those who don't know, what does that mean?
A juried exhibit is when an artist can submit one or two pieces, up to two pieces, and then a guest juror will select the pieces that will be exhibited in that particular show. Non-juried is open to anyone. There is no judging at that front level, and they can submit one piece, one individual piece. All of our exhibits, though, are, to not confuse things further, there's a different kind of judging on the back end to do excellent awards, and we're lucky that we have some funding, generous funding from the Philadelphia Foundation, where we do give monetary awards for essentially best in show in different categories.
Okay. Rachel, what's your position at the Mainline Art Center, and what do you do? What do you offer in the way of classes, particularly?
Sure. So I'm the Director of Communications at Mainline Arts Center. We're based in Haverford. And we also, like Chester County, we have monthly exhibitions. We have opportunities for artists and children and adults with disabilities. And then we have our classes, as you mentioned. We have classes for, you know, we like to say from 2 to 102, and we actually do have an artist who is 100.
Wow. Okay.
And we have classes for all levels, so from someone who has never taken an art class since they've picked up a crayon when they were little, all the way to advanced artists, we have something for them as well, from quick workshops, 2 hours, just get your feet wet, to intense 12-week classes for professionals.
For people who are very serious.
Right.
So what's the process for being exhibited for the first time as a beginning artist? How do they approach you?
Well, we have many opportunities for artists to submit their work for our exhibitions throughout the year. But I would say probably for the beginning artists, the best is our members exhibition. So annually, we invite all adult members of the Art Center to submit one work of art into the members exhibition. It is a great opportunity for a beginner to have their first exhibiting experience. We're actually accepting new members right now, and requesting that people send us their apply for the members exhibition. Of course, anyone is welcome to be in it. And then the members exhibition is in December, so it's a great place to start.
The membership is open to anyone? You don't have to live on the main line?
No.
Okay, great.
You don't have to live on the main line, and we have people come from all over.
Great. There's no hazing or anything like that?
There's minimal hazing. No.
All right.
No hazing.
Good to know. John Baker, as an artist, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the first time you exhibited something at a real art show. Where was that, and when was that?
Well, my first real art show was at Chester County Art Association.
Ah.
I was recently going through my resume to update it, and I thought, well, I should at least look back and see when that was. And that was probably the late 70s, that exhibition. Prior to that, I had done some outside shows, some street shows, things like that.
Fair art shows in the park.
But that was my first actual gallery exhibition.
How did that feel different as opposed to just putting it on a fence when you were in the outdoor art show?
It was very exciting.
Yeah.
A little bit of nervousness, you know, your first exhibition, really putting your work out there.
Can you say how old you were about? Or
at that point in time, I was 24.
Right. Okay, that's the beginning stage. Yeah, right.
So I was a very young teacher at the time.
What kind of public feedback did you get from that or from the Art Center itself?
I based the feedback on the sales of the show. At that point in time, I was doing all functional pottery for the most part. I was doing some wall pieces, slab-built wall pieces. But the functional pottery, actually the show almost sold out.
Hey.
So I thought, wow, what a great kickoff. But it was also important for me to sort of put myself out there in the community, let not only the other artists know, but the community members know what I was doing, and also give feedback to the university, because I was teaching at the time.
Right, and let's not make any mistake, all the artists are looking at all the other artists' works at these shows.
Always, yes.
They may do it out of the side of their eye, but they're looking to see what the competition is.
Oh, yeah, I think a critique is always ongoing.
At Westchester, where you were an instructor, you saw plenty of young, earnest art students. How do you nurture that spark? Kids come to you with the idea that they love this. How do you keep from snuffing that out?
Well, I really believe in positive reinforcement. When I was teaching, I would always find the good in whatever they were doing and reinforce that.
Okay.
But also really put emphasis on technique so that they would have to learn technique prior to concept. And then from there, they would learn concept. Mm-hmm. We would encourage our students, not only did they always have a graduating senior exhibition, but through their freshman, sophomore, junior year, they would exhibit, do pottery sales, do outside shows, different opportunities would come up. So they'd become slightly familiar with the outside world, you know, outside of that bubble of the security of the institution.
Right. Where your professor says, that's really good. You have to go, well, can I sell that? Wendy, you're also an artist. Could you talk a little bit about your first show experience, first real show?
For me, there are different levels as an artist. I had my first solo show was a big milestone. Being in a group show at a very established gallery, another milestone. But to start off, I was doing things like having exhibits in restaurants.
Okay, what kind of art was it? Were you a painter?
I am a printmaker, and I do what I call print collages. So I'm using pieces of my prints and then repurposing them and collaging with them.
Okay.
But that idea of just trying to put your work out in public and get feedback. So sales are really important. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's sort of
that shows you're doing something.
A symbol of of moving forward. But just even having people respond to your work was so exciting. And again, that's why I think participating in group shows, you know, at different art organizations is a really great way to start, because at least it's a path and it's a journey, and there are always these benchmarks that you're aiming for, I think, as an artist.
So for you and John, is it painful to stand there and have someone go, I don't like that, when they look, not knowing it's you or poor?
Right. Well, not too painful.
Okay.
We can't please everybody all the time.
And I use it as an opportunity sometimes. If someone is looking a little perplexed at one of my pieces, I'll go over and talk to them about it, or say, oh, hi, you know, I'm the artist. Can I tell you a little bit about my piece? And I look at that as an educational opportunity for them, but also for me, because it makes me get better about speaking about my work.
John, you're also involved in the Art Trust Gallery, which some people may not be familiar with. Can you tell us where it is and what it looks like and how you got involved?
The Art Trust is actually the Meridian Bank.
In Westchester.
In Westchester, right off of High Street on Market. Mm-hmm. And I actually was asked to serve on the board a number of years ago, shortly after the founding members started the organization. It used to be the Garuba Bazan Gallery.
Right. And they had the kind of high-end work there, shall we?
Yes. So the space actually still has very much of that gallery feel.
It was a beautiful space, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the bank has graciously allowed us to do exhibitions on a rotating basis. So currently, right now, we have Candyland coming up. This year, our theme was board games. So every year we sort of pick a theme-based direction.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, we had Operation. Candyland will open next week.
Okay.
And then after that, we have Rock, Paper, Scissors, which will...
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yes, right. And that will open. Rock, Paper, Scissors will open, October 4th and run through November 10th.
That's great. Can you be a younger, or perhaps not an established artist, and still get a chance to exhibit there, or is there a jurying process?
There really isn't jurying, per se. Mm-hmm. If someone was interested in showing, they should contact one of the board members.
And it's all on the Internet, yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Through recommendations from the board members, because each of us curate various exhibitions, mm-hmm. and that's how an artist will be able to partake in some of our shows.
Okay. All right. So schmooze a little.
Schmooze. Yeah.
All right. Very good. We have a break. We have a break coming up, but stay tuned as we talk about the exhibition opportunities coming up in the region and talk more about what it takes to put your work out there. We'll be back in a moment with my guests John Baker, Wendy Kirshner, and Rachel Ammon.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call, and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
Westchester Athletics.
Moriarty drops back, looks left side, fires, and has Tim Brown with the reception. Makes a man miss to the five. Brown to the goal line, trucks through a man as he walks in for the touchdown.
High school athletics.
Roberts has it, rolls to his left. He's looking. Plenty of time. He's going to roll back to his right, throwing into the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Westchester East.
The sports chatter of Chester County. This is your home for Chester County sports. 1520 WCAG.
Back to Art Watch. This is John Chambliss. I am continuing the discussion with Wendy Kirshner of the Chester County Art Association, Rachel Ammon of the Mainline Art Center, and John Baker, an artist and instructor. Wendy, let's start out with you first. Let's talk about the upcoming schedule of shows you've got there. And tell everybody where the Art Association is, just in case they don't know, and then talk about your shows. Okay?
Sure. We are located right at the edge of downtown Westchester. We're on Bradford Avenue, where Gay Street dead ends.
Right.
So, easy to find, mm-hmm. and we are open to the public. We're open Monday through Saturday, except in the summer, but we'll be open on Saturdays starting again right after Labor Day.
Okay.
And we have three group shows coming up this fall that artists can enter in. One is juried, one and two are non-juried. And then just for the artists, seven group shows for next year for 2018.
And wow.
Okay. We have some other special exhibits going on this fall. In addition to the group shows, we always have a featured artist show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a couple of fund
fundraising events in the month of October. So Clay Days is a three-day sort of Westchester-wide exhibit. And then we have Art as Change.
As well as
the Hall Collection. Art as Change is our fundraising exhibition, and it's 1960s revolutionary images, and it's private pieces from private collections that are all displayed together.
For those who don't know, that's concert posters.
Concert posters, right. Knoll furniture with Bertoia.
Beyond that, okay.
A whole range of things, other sculpture pieces.
Right.
Very groovy.
I'm sure it is.
And then the Hall Collection is also running in October, and that is a private family collection. They collected only Chester County artists, and that's going to end with a live auction. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of things that are going on, and people can come in and be inspired and engage and learn about how to apply to some of the shows themselves.
And I'm looking forward to seeing that auction. That should be interesting. You have some. Who are some of the artists you have as part of that collection?
Some of the local artists are Barclay Rubican, Bill Jamison, who's still living in Westchester.
Yeah.
There is a Charles Shearer and a few others.
So. These kind of works just don't come on the market very often. They
Correct.
Have to really come from private collections.
Correct.
So and, be, yes, even and if you just go look, you can do that too.
Exactly. You can just go look, and it's neat that the family was supporting the arts in general, and then specifically Chester County artists. So something we're happy to be aligned with.
Rachel, how about you? What's coming up? What are the big things at the Mainline Art Center this year?
Sure. Well, we kick off our exhibition year in September with our Teaching Artists Exhibition, which is always a great opportunity to get to know our teachers and perhaps find someone who you might want to take a class with. Then we have something called the Art Market on September 15th. This is serving as our opening reception for the Teaching Artists Exhibition, and also is a sale of art and fine crafts throughout our building. So that's a fun opportunity to sort of get to know our teachers, but then maybe even pick up some work for yourself, for your home. And then our big fall contemporary exhibition is October 2nd. It is an exhibition called Happily Ever After. It's curated by our executive director, Amy Potsick. And this exhibition features seven female artists addressing the human experience through a female lens in the 21st century.
Wow.
The work is amazing. And the artists are from Philadelphia and beyond. I think we have a few from New York.
Oh, that's terrific.
So you won't want to miss that. That's October 2nd through the 29th.
That's great. It, given your position there, at least geographically, do you pull from Philadelphia as well as Chester County?
Yeah. We do, From the tri-state area.
Okay. I wanted to touch on it could be a thorny issue for some beginning artists. When you put your work into a show, what price do you put on it? I've been to shows where the prices are so astronomical that they think they're Rembrandt, or they give it away for like $5. And John, I guess first I'd like to ask your advice. I mean, say you were having your first show, and you had that piece that you exhibited way back when. I don't know what the price was then,
right,
but given today's dollars, how do you avoid overpricing it or underpricing it? You don't want to make it look like it's worth nothing. And you don't want to just look at it for the rest of your life. So
right.
What's that line?
Well, it's tricky. I don't want to be my best collector,
right,
basically. So I try to price things so they're affordable but yet not underpriced. Some of my fellow colleagues say I'm very reasonable.
Okay.
And, I try to work within the market. Often, for my prices, galleries will set the prices based on...
Once you get to that point, the gallery will say you should ask this much.
Yeah. But as an emerging artist, the one thing I see is that a lot of emerging artists may overprice their work because
they
they're
put
looking,
their life into it.
They put and they're looking at established artists and trying to equate what their value is to established artists. So again, I think it's a really tricky business. You don't want to outprice yourself from the market, if you will,
right,
where you put such a high price on pieces, and then if they sell, you're pretty much locked into that.
Yeah.
You've established that standard.
Which wouldn't be so bad, but you may not find more than one person who's willing
to pay. That's right. And that's the part that you really want to be conscious of. So as emerging artists, I would say really look at the marketplace, get advice from whether it be your professors or gallery owners, and work with their insight.
Yes.
I can add on to that,
yeah,
too, John.
Mm-hmm.
we try to, at the Chester County Art Association, we do try to give feedback to our artists, especially newer artists.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it the pricing being low or high, but it's also the presentation.
Okay.
So we encounter a lot where, in the worst of all cases, someone has priced perhaps too high,
mm-hmm.
and the frame is very poor.
The frame
and
does
so
matter.
It does really
mm-hmm.
matter, and you can't ask for a lot of money if you yourself haven't even spent the time to properly frame it and display it and present it to the public. So there, it's a learning process,
yeah.
and some people are open to feedback, other people are not. We don't push that, but we do ask, you know, would you like some feedback, and
mm-hmm.
Try to help educate and move people along. We have the luxury that in our main location here in Westchester, there are formal galleries and the group shows, but we have another location in the Exton Square Mall,
right.
and that is a member gallery, and that's often a great place for people to start to exhibit, and then we do solo shows there, featured artists as well that members can apply for. But there are different, you know, we talked initially just the different stepping stones and the way to start
mm-hmm.
showing your artwork, and
mm-hmm.
to me it's all about learning and educating and gleaning from where, you know, who you're working with.
Right. You may have put all your college studies and work and years into this first piece that you exhibit, but that doesn't mean it's worth $10,000.
Correct. Or even
$100.
If
it means that much, you keep it.
Yeah. Plus, there's a level of professionalism that should be part of the work.
Right,
you know,
and
which
experience
the framing or
you can't put the drugstore frame on a
mm-hmm.
on a painting and expect the people to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Rachel, how about at the Mainline Art Center? Do you see sometimes artists put a large price on it so they don't have to sell it?
Sure.
Yeah.
We've seen that too. And this
it means too much for them.
Right.
You know?
This is just as Wendy said. You know, that's, we see that as part of our job to help help our artists sort of understand pricing and the presentation and framing. And you know what we always say is you can certainly mark a piece not for sale.
Yes,
and people
and
do that.
That's better than putting an outrageous price on it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We don't need to have a $10,000 price tag.
Because that does mark you for a while. People are going to go, oh, that's the expensive guy. I'm not even going to go look at his
stuff. People notice that,
yeah.
too. And, you know, that may impact someone in a way that, you know, not for sale might not
mm-hmm.
impact them that way when they're looking at your label.
It's that first impression. If
right.
they think they can't afford that artist, then they might not be...
Yes.
Looking
right.
further.
And it also, I think, does a you know, disservice overall, too, to... It messes with the way that people value work.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
A lot of high-end galleries will put POR, which, for those who don't know, is price on request,
mm-hmm.
which... translated means you can't afford it.
Right.
I'm being facetious about that, but it's a staggering figure if it says price on request.
Right.
They want you to sit down
right.
first
oh.
before they tell you
yeah.
what that Andrew White drawing is actually.
Water.
Yeah. How much? Yeah. Thank you.
Can I add one other thing? I'm talking about, you know, how to price your work and perhaps start to get a following.
Mm-hmm.
People who have admired your work and maybe are thinking about buying something.
Right.
The Art Association has artist memberships. So there's an artist level and an artist plus level. And if you're a young artist and might not have a website for your work, the Artist Plus, we will give you a page to display your work.
Okay.
And as an artist, you can put one piece onto our artist section.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a way for people to learn more about you, get involved with you, maybe see other work that's not in that particular show you've come to see, you know, someone's come to see. And mm-hmm. it's a way to, again, I guess, build that following. Maybe
right.
John can speak more to that, but it is a really wonderful offering
mm-hmm.
to young artists that just don't have that wherewithal or the know-how.
John, do you have a website for your work?
No, I have an Instagram
okay.
site most recently.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just coming into the century, so
right.
so I don't have a website yet.
Listen for artists.
He's already got a big following.
Yeah. 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 But things like what Wendy offers at Chester County and other art centers, it's a great venue just to reach out to a different population also
mm-hmm.
that the emerging artists that participate in that will find that there are collectors, there are other artists, other galleries that review that site. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to really be part of that social media.
And if you have art that's easily shipped or mailed, you could certainly make a good living mm-hmm. selling. I mean, you can't sell furniture that way, but I mean, if you have small watercolors, you could have a home-based business. It would be a whole different avenue. Mm-hmm. But then there's nothing like putting something in an art center and having that immediate reaction and getting people in the community to look at it as well. Mm-hmm. So that's more important. I want to throw this all out to you in about a minute here. What keeps people from coming into the art center? I know people who do marketing or who are in charge of art centers, sometimes people are just, they don't think they're smart enough. They're not going to get it, or that you're going to grab their wallet and force them to buy something. So I guess whoever wants to jump in first on that, how do you say it's okay to come in?
Well, I think that's the beauty of an art center, is that it really is not intimidating.
Right. It's not a gallery where they're going to look down their nose at you.
Right.
Yeah, right, okay.
You know, Mainline Art Center, and I know Chester County, we're free and open to the public. Mm-hmm. There's nothing intimidating about it.
Right.
Many of our openings, all of our openings are free.
Free.
And families come. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity for children to be... to experience art.
A lot of parents are probably nervous the kid is going to touch the artwork, and yet you don't need to be worried. Generally, it's high enough on the wall you don't have to, reasonable children will be okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, we strive to be accessible. Mm-hmm. That is the whole point of an art center, is to welcome the community in and to make it a fun and approachable experience.
Well, and for us, I agree with everything Rachel has just said. And for us, the opening receptions are sometimes an easy way to slip in with a crowd. Mm. You know, you might be afraid to go into a gallery and be the only person walking around.
Oh, yeah, right.
But an opening, we get 50, 100 plus people, depending on what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it is a good way to mingle around and talk to other interested people, or not talk to anyone, but at least get a look around the room.
Idea of what you like. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interested and interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. We're running out of time, but Wendy, John, Rachel, thank you for coming in on the air today. I know we just kind of scratched the surface. The half hour goes by very quickly. But I think the main thing we want people to know is that they should come and see a show at their local art center. You people are very nice. You're not going to hurt anyone. Come and take a class, and nobody's going to judge you. They've seen it all before. They're happy to have you there, and you might just discover you have a gift you didn't know you had. Mm-hmm. So next week on Art Watch, Carolyn Roosevelt will be welcoming two artists and art instructors, Nielsen Carlin and Karen Delaird. And until next week on Art Watch, I'm John Chambliss. Tune in every Wednesday from 1 to 1:30 on station WCHE 1520 when we continue to explore the world of the arts in Chester County.